Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Show. Or should I say the Big Mac Show? Because there was no Mac Show today. So Big and Mac are back together. And as you know, or as you may not know, I work at Avengers HQ. Now, hands up who doesn't know what that is. You all know?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep, you all know what that is? Good. So, as you know, a certain film was filmed where I work, so I work at Avengers HQ. So I have assembled the best superheroes you've ever seen for this show. And they're going to bring their superpowers to bring us the week in tech. So first up, he's snappy, he's loyal, and he humps my leg. It's Chris Campion. He's the Whippet.
Good evening.
Oh, look at that boy.
You spent time with your crayons today, haven't you?
I've been paying my crayons. Yeah, soft play. I can't always sharp things. Jesus.
Good evening.
How you doing, mate?
I'm really good.
Had a good week. You had a week of me just moaning again, haven't you?
Yeah, this is good to moan. And I've had a half the week on a first aid course for work as well, which has been interesting.
Oh, because I get some mouth to mouth then.
Bit of a break from the norm, yeah. Bit of CPR, bit of bandage.
That was bandage, wasn't it?
Bandage.
Okay, thank you.
Bondage. Bondage.
Bandage.
Bandage.
It's been a good week. I've enjoyed it.
Well, next up, and you can't excuse this, he's loyal to his handheld device, Ua. It's Rich.
Hello, is that
the Switch?
That's amazing.
Rich, the Switch.
I need that on a t-shirt.
I will. I'll send you all copies of these.
That's amazing. Yeah.
The glass, the mask is the best.
I want that in real life.
I love that.
That's so good.
I think. I always get these things on like a Friday afternoon, like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I get home and I have a glass of wine and I go just, like, scribble away. And I thought, Rich has to have a Switch. Rich, the Switch.
That's
so there
brilliant.
You go. I'll post that to you, Rich.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'll post that to you. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm well, thank you.
Good. Really enjoyed our show the other week about mobile phones. It was just the best.
It's disturbing me how many phones I'm still remembering.
I know. The thing is, you've got to go through it and you think, I had a phone. I can't remember what it was, what make it was. I had it for like 3 years, but
can't remember now.
Awesome. Yeah, but it was still awesome at the time. Some of them were shit, but it was okay.
We got listeners posting in the Facebook group saying, you know, a couple of people posted pictures of their phones. And I was looking at those thinking, and I had that one and I forgot to mention it as well.
That's what we want.
It's easier to just say at this point, I had all phones.
I think we probably did. We must have covered like 40 phones in 90 minutes. Easy.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And if you want to know, go over to simplysyndicated.com and take it or leave it and listen to me and Rich just ramble shit about phones for an hour and a half. I really enjoyed it. It was great fun. So thank you so much for that.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, give me the opportunity to ramble. And to round us off, like I say, we have a nice cozy evening this evening, should I say. He's smooth. We call him the Observer because he likes to watch. It's Jeffrey Gamet. How are you, my man?
God, that's awesome. I am so much better now that I've seen dry. That is awesome.
I've got some posters to do, haven't I?
Yes. I think I may need to put that as my my Facebook avatar.
Thank you. I'll take photos of them. I'll digitize them and email them all to you. And I'll put them in the show notes so people who listen to our audio know what we're talking about. So we are about to unleash our superpowers of technical knowledge. And what technical knowledge we have. It's been a week, and like I say, it's a Big Mac show. So who's going to launch us in? And I think, Jeff, are you going to cover the Apple thing?
Sure, I can do that.
Because obviously we have a loyal Apple following, and I've got a few things to say, and I'm sure you do too.
Sure. All right. Well, then how about if I start with a quick rundown of what Apple did?
Yes, please.
So they introduced Product Red versions of the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus.
The bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did a new 9.7-inch iPad. And they discontinued the iPad Air 2. They discontinued the iPad Mini 2. They cut down the iPad Mini 4 line to be just a single 128 gig model. And they introduced new Apple Watch bands and introduced new case colors for the iPhones. They also announced Clips. And
yes, that's the new social.
Did I miss something?
No, that's just new. Well, thing is, I've been ill for the last couple of days, and I kind of woke up and your tweets were the first one I saw. And it said Jeff has posted on WordPress like 30 articles, and it was like new iPhone. And I was like, oh, what? And I'm kind of glad in a way that I missed out on getting the iPhone 7, because I want that. And as I said to you guys when we were talking, building up to the show, please talk me down from buying a red iPhone 7, because I've bought the official red silicone case because I want a red iPhone. But does that piss people off? There's not been that long, has it, since the launch?
Well, it'll piss off some people, but Apple could announce the most amazing computer ever that you can carry in your pocket, but links to you telepathically, has all the information in the world, and costs only $10 and includes lap dance, and people would still be pissed off because it didn't come with a unicorn. So, people are going to be angry and whatever, because it's not like they revved the product line mid-cycle. They added a Product Red version of something that's already there.
So when are you getting yours?
I'm not going to get one.
What?
I know, I love it, but I always have an iPhone. So and I also really like having the black face as opposed to the white face.
That was the only thing that disappointed me, actually. It looked a bit like, you'd say nougat, I say nugget. It's kind of the pink and red. I do like the red back with the black front. It is quite nice.
I do like that. I've seen the red iPhone, and when you see it in person, the white front looks pretty nice.
Right.
But I'm just not a white iPhone guy.
For me, we had a little small, I think me, who was in Ian Lewis, Lee commented on the Slack room earlier when Lee said he wants to see more colours. Ian Lewis said he wants to see more colours. And I think, I don't know how many people out there, certainly I'm one who, I've never been bothered about the colours. Not when there's the likes of iCarbons, there's D-Brand, you can get so many skins that you can put on, you can change the colour of your phone every other week for me. And I'm the same, I've got a space black, space grey, and I've got the silver one, which is my work device, I much prefer the space grey colour. I always have it in a case anyway. For me, it's just the slippiness. I'm fairly clumsy, so I always have it in a case. So I'd be more like a Paul, personally, for the space grey with the Product Red case than I would going for the red phone and essentially carrying that around naked.
But they can do it. They can do it with the iPod Touch, because the iPod Touch comes in various colours.
Touch did come in red for a while.
Yeah, and it came in blue and green and all sorts of things, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the iPhone? Why is it? Why? I know we didn't have a keynote or anything, and I don't think it was worth an announcement. I think the most important, the most vital thing that came out was the iPad, and I'll go into that later. But I think the iPhone should come in various colors, because I've had a lot of people say, I put my iPhone in a Apple case because I wanted a red iPhone. I'd rather not have a case, but the Apple case is the one case that makes my iPhone look like an iPhone without having a 99p case on it. Looks like shite.
Mm-hmm. This should surely just be every color they can make. I mean, why not?
Well, exactly. That's the whole point, Rich. Yeah, exactly.
If they had an easy way in the store to pop the color on that you want, then I could totally see doing like a rainbow array of colors for iPhones. But since they can't, or at least they can't right now, managing that inventory for a product like the iPhone, have all those different colors, that would be insane.
Yeah. Well,
they get enough stick at the moment when there's certain colors not available. So to be able to get that many different variations out there and stock of all those different variations, for me, they're just going to attract even more issues by people saying, oh, the pink or the green or the orange, they're not available. I can get space grays, I can get silvers, I can get reds. But you know, that one shade of blue that they've announced that there's only three of in you know, across God knows how many stores, it's not on that you can't get that shade of blue. And I think it's just inviting more trouble based on the volume that they have to produce.
Well, for me, one of the most beautiful iPhones I've ever seen is the 5C. Because my daughter has a 5C. She has a pink the pink is salmon, I don't know what they call it, but she has a pink iPhone 5C. And I love it. It's a beautiful phone. The plastic on it is gorgeous. She loves it. It's brilliant. And she's about to get an upgrade to a 6S Plus. So she's got a better phone than me next month. Screw you. But what I've done now is we're looking on eBay at the moment and we're buying broken 5Cs. Because what we're doing is we've bought a little frame thing. We're getting all the colors. We put them in the frame. We have all the backs in this frame. So we're buying all the iPhone 5Cs in all the colors, having this frame. She wants it in her room. Because my daughter's a nerd like I am. Of course she is. Good genes. But she absolutely loves that phone. And as soon as her contract's up next month and I showed the product red to her and her eyes just went, oh my God. And I think they knew because I think her next phone is going to be a bloody red iPhone. Because the people who really want iPhones and really want to stand out, it's like when the first gold one came out and the first rose gold one came out, even if you're a geezer or a lady or whatever, you wanted to get that one to say I've got the latest color, didn't you? That was the
the rose gold iPhone based on that well, yeah, absolutely,
because you wanted to say I had the rose gold iPhone.
I did. And do you know what, it felt good to reclaim pink again and break down all of that rubbish around what is a good and bad color for a man to have. I wanted a pink phone. It looks good.
Was that because you wanted the pink phone, or was it because you were fed up of the silver, the space grey, and you wanted different?
Both things are the case. Wanted, you know, that I thought was the pink one. I thought was the best looking one, and also it was about time they did anything different with them. And so it was just a bit refreshing with that. I do like that idea of them being able to apply the color in store. I mean, because that then leads you open to, well, if they can do that, can they apply a JPEG I bring in?
It would be cool.
It's all about the anodization process, isn't it? And being able to get that color onto that device and have it as a solid, even color that's going to last.
I still always felt that this idea of moving towards the iPhone being a circuit board. And you can then, when you get it, go into the Apple Store and buy a screen of any shape or size you want.
Oh, God, yeah.
And a box with that's any size or shape you want. If you want one that straps that iPhone 6S Plus screen to your wrist, there you go. There's one. You're insane, but there is one and all that kind of stuff. That'd be great. And then you could just ship empty plastic boxes around.
Not Apple.
No, it is Apple because you've got multicolored iPod touches. You've got multicolored iPods, the old thing, and you've got multicolored bands. So why not do it for the phone? So they do fashion accessory kind of thing for everything else. I know new cases came out this week as well as the straps and all that sort of thing, but why not? Because apparently on the rose gold, they can't anodize the antenna lines, but they can on the red for some reason, all of a sudden.
Yeah, just and then that would get around problems of people complaining about battery size and all kinds of things like that. Just make it so that the battery's a separate box or something like that.
And they're a fashion brand now, aren't they?
Mm.
Oh, they're definitely a fashion brand. Yeah. But you're not going to get the other colors for iPhones unless you go to third-party companies and have them do the custom colors for you. Okay. Just if you look at the iPod Nano that comes in several different colors. Okay, the margins and the costs on making that model are really low, so they can afford to build up this inventory of all these different colors and have them sitting around while people are buying them. Something like an iPhone, that suddenly becomes crazy expensive. So what they'd have to do, I think, is design a phone that has a place where you click the back panel on. So you buy the phone and they're all the same except for the back panel. And then Apple just has boxes and boxes of the back panel. Mm. And so you go in and say, I want the blue one. And you buy your phone and they go click. Okay, now you have a blue phone.
This is a problem Nokia solved in 1993.
yes, we covered this. Yes, you're right.
You know, this is Express on covers on the 3210. That is precisely what you're describing.
Oh, God, I had a 3210.
Yeah.
Shall the modern day version of the Express on covers is the iCarbons, it's the D brand skins.
But they're not Apples, are they?
Yeah.
And they add size. It's not the same as the actual shell of the phone being replaceable.
No. But the thing that got me thinking is when the Apple Watch came out, I remember Ewan saying he ordered I think the first iPhone, it was an aluminium one with the Milanese band. And when he got it, he got a box and it said this is the steel aluminium, whatever it is, with the Milanese band, and it was branded as such, as almost mm-hmm. like it was custom made for him because he chose that watch mm-hmm. and that band and he got it. Why mm-hmm. can't you get that in an iPhone? Why can't I have an iPhone with a white front and a red back? Because the Moto X did that. I could have a wooden back, I could have a pink front, I could have a luminous green home button.
You know, I'm betting if Apple thought that was actually really necessary to sell iPhones, they would have found a way to do it. But they don't seem to be having it with the silver back, a gold back, the rose back, and a gray back. Oh, now the shiny black back too.
So, Jeff, you have a close relationship to Apple than any of us. So obviously, you talk to them more closely than we do. Do you kind of ask?
It's so cute how you think they'll actually talk to me.
Well,
anyhow,
but you certainly have a closer relationship with them than we do. But in your coverage and obviously your mm-hmm. feedback you get through the Mac Observer, do you get that feeling from people that the personalization is gone? Do people just go, okay, there's a new piano black version. We want the piano black version. That's the only one we want. Get us a new color. Next year is going to be a green one. So we're going to buy the green one. And Apple just know that. And they're just going to go, then we're going to release a new color every year, and people are just going to buy it for the hell of it.
In a manner of speaking, yes, that you nailed it. Here's the thing. What I see is that people are very attracted to one specific color from the iPhone line. Excuse me. And that color, you know, whichever color they go for, man, they take ownership and that's what they want. And, mm-hmm. and it's once they bought it, it's not about, I have, like in my case, the space gray iPhone. It's about, I have my iPhone.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And it's that very personal ownership feeling that people have. That's the big thing. And I think that because of the way people are attracted to the iPhone, Apple, even though it would be fun to have a blue iPhone, I would love a blue iPhone.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not going to happen. Apple doesn't need to do it because they make these kind of call them generic colors that are also very distinct. And my guess is they've done a lot of research on the emotional reaction to colors. And that's why they settled on the colors that we get for the iPhone. And man, it's like once Apple introduced space gray, all I wanted was space gray for all my stuff.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah.
But I saw the color and I'm like, oh, it just got hot here.
So that brings me on. Yeah, I don't want to jump the gun. It brings me on to the iPad or the iPad, uh-huh. which is now cheaper than the iPad Mini 4. And I think one is a genius move. But I'm still staying on the color thing. If I want to buy one right now, I can have it in gold and silver, can't I? That's all I can have, isn't it?
The new iPad.
I don't remember if they're doing space gray on that. But we can find out real quick.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I can have a silver, gold, and space gray. I can't have a rose gold. I can have a space gray, silver, and gold. I can't have a rose gold. Now, my wife is heavily invested in rose gold because she has a rose gold iPhone. She has a rose gold Apple Watch. She has a rose gold Mother's Day present coming because she won't listen to this before it gets released. And she has a rose gold battery pack and all those sort of things. Now, I know that what they're doing now is that iPad sales are decreasing. We know that. And this is essentially the iPad Air 3 minus the laminated screen without the two.
It's not an iPad Air 3.
This is an iPad 2 replacement for education.
It's an iPad Air 1. With a touch ID sensor, because it's thick, it's as thick as a iPad Air 1, isn't it? It's not as thin as an iPad Air 2.
Correct. Yeah, it's thicker. Yeah.
So it doesn't have the
anti-gloss coating on the screen, and or anti-glare coating.
Doesn't have the True Tone color either, does it?
Mm. No.
But what
it's
I've heard...
brighter screen, but it's not True Tone.
Yeah. So what I've heard from a lot of people is some people just want an iPad. Now, I have a elderly relative, and she used to use a Windows laptop, and she loved it. But Windows is shy, and we all know it's shy. And I'm sorry for all you Windows people out there, but if you're an older person and Windows updates and all that, they are shite, and it's a pain in the ass. She used my iPad for a while as a trial. She loved it. We bought the first iPad Mini that came out. She absolutely loved it. We took it into the Apple Store, and she said, "I want an iPad." And they went, okay. And I said, she wants an iPad Air 2, 32 gig, in gold, Wi-Fi only. And they went, yeah, here you go. Bang, pay the money, walk out. And a lot of people walk into the Apple Store and says, I want an iPad. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the laminated screen. They don't care about the True Tone display. Mm-hmm. They might not even care about the Touch ID, to be perfectly honest, or the storage on it, because it starts at 32 anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the bloody webpage fly up, and I'm thinking, my iPad 4 is looking really shit. Anyway, I'm going to close that page.
Do you know what? It's probably going to be my next iPad.
Yeah, and mine too.
Because I was hideously annoyed at the iPad Pro, which, incidentally, before we leave the colors, if you wanted to get a rose gold iPad, it's only the 9.7-inch iPad Pro that is available in that color.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the iPad Air gone. Hasn't the iPad Air 2 is dead.
I have an Air 2, which I love. It's great. It does everything I need it to. I don't need any of the things the iPad Pro does.
Whereas for me, Rich, I've got an Air 2 currently. My daughter's got an iPad 2, which really isn't its last leg. So we've dragged it out for so long, knowing full well that she drops it and things like that. But yeah. It's absolutely on its last legs now. And I'm going to probably be ordering. I was waiting to see if there was any announcements or any releases. And because there was nothing that came up in the sort of the mid-size rumor range at the moment, I'm probably going to opt for the 9.7 Pro in the next couple of weeks and let my daughter have the Air 2. And my reason for that is I'm desperate to start drawing with the pencil on the iPad, making notes in meetings and things like that. So there's my use case for it.
Yeah,
but absolutely. But if I didn't have that, and if my daughter's iPad 2 wasn't dying, there'd be no reason for me to stop for my Air 2 at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's the pencil stuff that I think bumped up that the cost of the iPad Pro, because it's what is it, 125, 150 quid more expensive than the Air 2 was.
And the pencil's another 100 quid on top, isn't it?
Yeah, and then buy the pencil as well. And I don't draw. I have no interest in drawing. So I don't want to pay 150 quid more or 250 quid more for an iPad Pro that has this great new expensive feature I have no intention of ever coming close to using.
No, I'd love. I've got a Wacom here, which I absolutely love. I've used the iPad Pro because Apple sent me one for a 3-month trial, and it's fun to use, but it's not the same sort of thing. So I just, my iPad wouldn't be the thing that I'd use to be creative on. Obviously my job is a creative job. I'm a designer by trade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use the iPad as the tool for my job. I have a 5K iMac at work, and the Wacom tablet plugs in whenever I need it. You know, the iPad Pro would be a separate thing to that, which I'd import things into. I just want an iPad. I just want an iPad which I can pick up, I can do notes on, I can watch Netflix on if I really wanted to. Although all my best shows are being removed at the end of this month, bastards. Doctor Who's and Thick of It, they're all being removed at the end of this month. So if you like those, go and watch them.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, cause if you want to think of it, and Doctor Who now says we're removing these on the 30th of March, and you're like, okay. But I just, an iPad for me is the equivalent of a notepad. It's a digital notepad for me. It's something I pick up, I look at, I do things with, and I put it down again. Like I said, I've got an iPad 4, which is the one that they released 6 months out of the 3, which is a little bit better. And it sits on top of the radiator at work, and I've not looked at it in 7 months.
I'm now worried about it working if it has been sat on top of the radiator over the winter. But
I turned the radiators off. It's okay.
Okay. I don't dispute that the pencil's a great thing and they should do it. It's just, I never wanted to pay extra for it. So I'm glad that they've done this new iPad that sort of says, there's still going to be more non-pro stuff. People who just want one that is a big Kindle reader and does BBC iPlayer and Netflix, whatever.
And I kind of go back to my point when we started this one. I think this is, as much as anything else, aimed at the education market, because I don't think they can leave the education market behind, and this device is absolutely well placed there.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's a little high priced for the education market if you walk into a store to buy one. However, that's not how schools buy these. Exactly. So they'll get their bulk discounts, and it's going to bring it down to the price point that that you're paying for Chromebooks. And I think this is a really smart move for the education market. And I think it's a great move overall, because there are a lot of people that want something other than an iPad Pro. And so in contrast, I have my 12.9 inch iPad Pro, I have my Apple Pencil, and just try and pry these from my cold dead hands. This is an iPad that it's like Apple came to me and said, so exactly what do you want?
Yeah.
And they took my shopping list and then built this.
Yeah. Well, out of interest, like you're saying, for the education market, I've just logged into my education portal with my supplier for work, and I can get the new iPad, 32 gig with 3-year collector return, Apple Care Plus, for $278.
Okay, so that's right in the price range I expected it would hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like about 260 in the US. Yeah.
You look at the iPad 2, that stayed as a supporting model way beyond its time. And that's because Apple absolutely kept it in there, because the iPad 2 was the iPad that was launched into education. It hung around. Schools across the world have been using it for so long, and they absolutely had to keep that device as a supporting model for as long as they possibly could. That's dropped out. They never formally replaced it with anything. And for me, this new iPad is that device now. And at that price, Jeff's right. It's bang on the money for education.
Yeah. And it goes back to what I was saying. You know, I take an elderly relative into the Apple store and they say, what do you want? And I have to say, it's an iPad Air 2, 32 gig, Wi-Fi, because they'll go, do you want to draw on it? Do you want a case on it? Do you want this? No, I want an iPad. I just want a screen that's a computer that I can go to QVC with. I can watch BBC iPlayer on in bed. That's what the majority of people who buy iPads want to do. And people go, Apple ignoring the pro market again. No, because there's an iPad Pro, you can go and buy that. And you get the whole blooming argument about MacBook Pros and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, if you want a consumer one, I can still buy a MacBook Air. And mm-hmm. I bought one today and I can get a MacBook Air for £646. Because this, three-year education. And I can, that's a great price for a MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. And for education, that's a great price. But this is where the Chromebooks creep in, because they have everything that, in a way, the iPad have and they don't have. Because they have multiple profiles, you can drop them and you can buy a new one for £200 and all those sort of things. But I think in the terms of, and I had a big argument with, you know, in Camp Jeffrey Jim, my old mate with the dodgy hair at lunch today, because he's using a Windows RT tablet at the moment because his Windows Dell tablet blew up and he got his money back and everything. I was like, buy an iPad. He said, no. I said, well, why not? I said, what do you do on the RT? I surf the internet. I can't install Chrome. I can't do this. Can't do that. I said, just buy an iPad. And he's so against Apple, he will not buy one. I'm like, just buy one, because it'll do everything you want. It's got the battery life you need. And that's all people want. They want 10 hours battery life. They want a decent screen. I know the screen on this new iPad isn't as good as, but for everyone else, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great move from Apple. And I don't think it was worth a keynote. It wasn't. I think if they do get their advertising right, and I don't know what obviously that's going to be, I haven't seen anything yet, but if they go, because I think it's $329 in the US and it's £339 in the UK, get that Brexit, thank you. Mm-hmm. They've got that $299. Wow. Because that, to the money men, and I deal with a lot of money men at work, you hit that $299 when we're buying enterprise laptops at £800-900, even more. And we're buying Surfaces and HPs and all that sort of thing. But for a lot of people, all they want is Office 365, Office, their email. The iPad would do it. My organization would save a shitload of money if we just bought everyone iPads.
Mm.
And I think that's what Apple's doing now with declining Apple sales, with declining iPad sales. I think it's one of the cleverest moves that Apple's ever done. And they wouldn't want to have a keynote to admit that. But they know that the sales are going down.
And this isn't a keynote product.
Yeah.
No.
This is just the thing you needed to get out there. The red iPhone wasn't a keynote product, just another thing to get out there and let us know about it. And you know, and then with what they did with the iPad mini 4, okay, it's not the thing you talk about in a keynote, because what they did was passive aggressively killed the iPad mini line this week. And I mean, because you can buy the new iPad for, what is it, $70 less than the iPad mini.
Exactly.
And the new iPad has a newer processor than the iPad Mini 4.
Yeah.
My feeling is Apple is phasing out the Mini over the next year because the Plus model iPhones are taking its place. And it's just going away.
No,
which made me sad because I love the Mini size so much.
Yeah. I've got the 9.7 Air 2. I've got the iPad Mini 3, I think it is, and that's just next to the bed. Is the Mini 3? It's what I tend to read on, whether it's a bit of internet browsing, email. It's the side of the bed all the time. I use it loads, and I use my Air 2s in my work bag, and that goes everywhere else with me. But yeah, I love the size, the form factor of the Mini. It's a shame to see that one go, but it's at that price point. Who's going to buy the Mini?
The Mini was a direct reaction to the Nexus 7. Google released the Nexus 7, seven inch tablets took off, and they thought, oh god, we need a smaller tablet. Android aren't even releasing tablets anymore. And then I think the 6S Plus and 7 Plus killed the iPad Mini anyway.
I think so.
I don't think people wanted a smaller tablet. I think people wanted a cheaper tablet, and those cheaper tablets happen to be 7 inches.
Yeah. Or they want a bigger phone. They want a bigger phone or a smaller tablet.
And of those people who tried the 7-inch thought, this is great, I need something bigger and usable. And those who didn't weren't ever going to get the big iPad anyway.
No.
Incidentally, there are still Android tablets. Samsung have just brought some out in the last week. It's just no one cares.
No. Oh, that was what I was going to say. And Jeff, you might answer this. There's no keyboard connector. There's no keyboard connector on this new iPad.
That's correct.
Bluetooth.
And that's on purpose. They're making the distinction between the iPad and the iPad Pro very clear. Right. So no smart connector, no Apple Pencil support, and that's okay because we still have the iPad Pro, and we'll see updates for that probably relatively soon, and may even see that 10.5-inch rumored iPad come out, and that'll probably be part of the iPad Pro line.
Mm-hmm. So literally, as you walk in, you say, "I want an iPad," and they go, "Here's the iPad, £329 in the UK." Mm-hmm. Go away.
My expectation now is that at some point, whether it be later on this year or not, I don't know, the 9.7 will be the iPad, the rumored 10.5 and the 12.9 will be the Pros, and I don't expect to see a 9.7 Pro if that 10.5 does land.
I'm totally with you. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, no, it was an interesting week. I've been in my sick bed like a sick boy. Or sick boy's bed, as my boss, as hot boss would say. I wake up on Tuesday morning to all of that, and I just saw Jeff's feeds on Facebook, and I went, "Something's happened." Because Jeff is my Apple news. He really is.
I've got your back.
If anyone has anything to tell me about Apple, it's Jeff. And you've almost filled an entire show. So the Big Mac show is literally the Big Mac show. So you've done a fantastic job.
Like I said, I've got your back.
You are the observer. The superpower is yours.
Man, that's such an awesome drawing.
So, the Whippet, have you got anything for me?
Yeah, there's mine. Yeah, sorry, this is probably a little bit more of a Mac show at the moment.
We would like to do that today.
Absolutely. So, Apple have announced this week that they've bought Workflow. So, for anybody who's not aware,
yes,
Workflow was a former, I think it was WWDC app nomination, certainly
yes.
an app of the year, I think it was, within the App Store. And Workflow is an awesome workflow tool, almost a quick link tool as well. You can use it for so many different things, set your different workflows up to automate, I suppose is probably the best way of saying it, various functions on your iOS device. Workflow is something I've been using for quite a while now. It's on my wife's phone, so all photos she takes, for instance, because she's terrible at backing up, all of her photos automatically, when she takes a picture, uploads into Dropbox. and then we can share that Dropbox folder with me, and I can back them up onto the NAS drive that we've got at home, and therefore we don't lose anything. I've got a few workflows set up just for little things like as I'm leaving work on an evening, it drops a text automatically out to my wife. If I am leaving work this location between say 4 and 6 Monday to Friday, message my wife to say I'm on my way home. Ring me if you need me to pick anything up. That sort of thing. It's an awesome tool. And this week, Apple have bought Workflow. So,
well, I know exactly why they've done that. And what's your theory, Cam? And then I'll go into
my thing. My thoughts are Workflow. I think it was £2.99 for it. Probably about 12, 18 months ago, something like that. It's currently free now, since Wednesday, I think it is. But it seems to me, and I've not worked out exactly what yet, but it seems to me that quite a few features have dropped out of the free version.
I can tell you why.
Okay.
Okay. So, Google support, Uber,
Chrome link of single.
Yeah, the Line, one of the other chat apps. So there's several things that are gone. And it turns out what happened is that a couple months ago, when Apple and the Workflow guys were negotiating, what they needed to do was clean up all the legal loose ends. So the Workflow people sent out these little contracts that you had to sign for like rights for accessing the APIs and stuff. And the companies that didn't sign those, their stuff got pulled out because there wasn't the legal form there. Right. So if Uber decides they want to sign the little thing, okay, great. Then they're back into Workflow. Yeah. But it's initially, because of what was missing, it kind of looked like Apple was snubbing certain companies. But I don't think that's the case. This is a matter of legal stuff needing to be done, and some of the companies just weren't cool with it, so they didn't do it.
If anybody who's not using Workflow, it really is an app that you need to get downloaded and give it a shot. It's just so, so powerful. And I absolutely think that this is... Apple haven't really done an awful lot with automation over the last years. I mean, recently, one of the VPs who was looking after all the automation stuff left Apple, haven't they? So,
he didn't leave Apple.
They got rid of him, didn't they?
Yeah, they eliminated his position. Yeah. Sal Segoyan.
Yes. So it's good to know then that they're not turning their back on automation with stuff like this. And would you guys, I mean, my expectation now is that probably, I don't know, iOS 11, probably, maybe iOS 12, Workflow will just be embedded into the operating system.
That would possibly make earlier. Sense. And I would hope that it would get embedded in macOS at some point as well.
Yes.
Totally. Well, for me,
okay, so on the Mac, we already have everything for automation, and it's the killer automation platform, except Apple's trying to kill it. The automation side.
I've never been able to do anything of real value with Automator. I have tried and tried over the years, and the best I've been able to manage is I have a thing set up that will correctly capitalize title names in Finder files.
That's pretty cool.
But that's it. It's the one thing. And it's never worked well with apps. The hours I've lost in my life trying to get the Soundtrack Pro Automator actions to do anything that it says they're supposed to do.
Oh, I wouldn't even begin to try that.
That's going back some now. I just never felt that the potential of Automator was ever really realized.
The problem with Automator is that the interface needed to be rethought out. Now, this is where Workflow could be useful, because Apple can take what Workflow is and merge that with Automator and give us a much more powerful automation platform on the Mac. Yeah, that would be interesting.
And the UI of workflow is so much nicer than Automator. It's easy to use. It's way more intuitive. And I get that it's essentially a skin for what is a powerful engine behind it. But it's a very familiar skin. It's a very easy skin to use. And if they can integrate that into iOS and macOS in an Apple-esque manner, but keeping the same intuitiveness, I think that's a win-win.
Mm. But the reason I was going back to say I know why I think they've done it and they've bought Workflow is, even as a heavy Mac user, as an enterprise kind of customer at work, we're heavily invested in Office 365. Now, we use a thing called Flow. I don't know if you know that with Office 365, which is, it's automated, it's if this, then that on steroids. Mm-hmm. So it's part of Office 365, but it plugs into all your cloud storage, but you can do it as a collaborative thing with many people, where Automator is more of a standalone thing and Workflow is more of a standalone thing within your device. So I'm just looking here at my flows. So I can do things like when a new tweet is posted, check if it has more than 100 followers, create a new record, add member to a list, add new steps, and then I can add it to SharePoint, Office 365, OneDrive, Twitter, Dropbox, Outlook, Wunderlist, Yammer, Dynamic 365, Google Calendar, Twilio, Slack, Instagram, SQL, plus another 112 other apps. And then they have a thing called Power Apps within Office 365 where you can build your own apps. You can build your own service desk. You can build your own email service. I've got Instagram, Instapaper. I've got Jira, Medium. I've got all those sort of things in there. Productivity thing, because I think the productivity stuff within Apple with Pages and Keynote and all those sort of things, as much as I love them as apps, I still see them as standalone apps. And what Microsoft have done is take their productivity apps and made them completely cloud-based. And I just see here WordPress. It's like, oh my God, for BTN, we could like say, if we get 100 likes on a page, we could do our top 100 likes or whatever, you know, top promoted pages. I've got Todoist, Trello, Twilio, SparkPost, STMT, Smartsheet. You know, this is more than Workflow does. And I think that Apple are going to look at this. Google Drive's in there, even though it's a Microsoft product. Facebook's in there, Boxes in there, Bloggers in there. You know, this is what Apple is looking at now. Yeah. It's only going to take one developer to get a 365 account for $5 a month to go, well, what's Microsoft up to? Ah, we need a company that does that too. And they need to integrate that into iOS and macOS as a cloud service and take them on. I think that's exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, the world of automating what we do on our computers has been evolving. Mm. And there was a time when learning AppleScript was awesome because the stuff you could, holy crap, the stuff that I used to do with AppleScript.
Oh, man.
Which is probably why Automator wasn't difficult for me to get into. But no, now,
I did the same thing.
Yeah, now it's about create the APIs so that everyone else can create the modules, and then you have the little switches and fill in the blanks in the blocks that you set up, whatever it was going to be, and do it that way. So workflow is a brilliant purchase on Apple's part.
It's very good. I miss the days of AppleScript because a few years ago, the VPN client we used at work failed. And I found a kind of bastardized version of it that actually worked in, I think it was Yosemite at the time. And I could use Automator to use AppleScript to then call the process to set the VPN off, to then call and ask for a username and password, to then connect to the VPN. And it just presented the user with a login and password window. And I saved it as an app. And I thought the frickin' genius. And people went, oh, did you just write an app on my computer? And I was like, yeah, of course I did.
Of course I did.
I just did it right there, you know. That'll be £300, please. But the cloud takes it to another level. You know, I haven't even stopped scrolling through the services that Flow and Power Apps do. But I was just having another look now. If I take that and go to Power Apps and I look at all the things that are available to me, I can create apps in Flow or workflows in Flow, and then create apps in Power Apps. You know, so I could build my own service desk, I could build my own email server, I could do anything I want. Also, oh, what have they got here? Contest registration, service desk, site inspection, customer success, case management, contact, opportunity tracking, organization browsers. You know, Microsoft have always been on top of this productivity thing, haven't they? Always. Yeah. But it's only the power you use it. If Apple can bring it to the consumer, that's where the power lies.
Mm-hmm. And that was part of the idea with AppleScript. Well, actually with Automator. But man, that they have workflow, they can give a system level integration for automation on iOS devices. Hmm. And considering what we're already doing with workflow, I can just only imagine how much better it's going to be when we can start hooking into system level things.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, no, I had a beer with someone today, well, a couple of people today, and he asked me a question about doing one thing, convert it to another thing, and he's a Mac user. I said, do it in Automator, and he said, what's Automator? And I kind of almost head-butted him, because like, what do you mean, what is Automator? And I said, go back to your office, go into your app folder, find Automator, run the wizard, and find out what it can do. And I think about 3 hours later, he emailed me and went, this is going to change my life. But if something like workflow comes along, but because they hide it away, it's not like in the start menu or in the dock when you get a new Mac, it's hidden away. Automator's there if you know it's there. If not, no one ever uses it. It's probably the most unutilized app on a Mac.
And I think for me, this is where workflow with its easy UI, absolutely, it's something that can land and put almost front and center. You know, as an easy, usable, facing off to other services tool, which will be spread across iOS and macOS, and will probably be really, really widely used by all users.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. No. Think if they do this thing, Apple, they don't do these, apart from like Beats and things like that, they do these kind of smaller purchases they don't want to talk about. And it's more about the larger integration going forward and the development of iOS and macOS going forward. Although I think Jeff will agree, it's more about the development of iOS than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, this I think is really going to stay focused on iOS. And what we see is that some of the interface features that we have in workflow will migrate over to the Mac, and Automator will get more useful. But I think that workflow is going to be a really cool thing for a lot of people, but even still, the average user probably is going to use this unless Apple comes up with some crazy clever way to make it even easier. Because, I mean, you start talking about, well, if you want to automate this, all you have to do is grab this and this, and then you enter this piece here, and they're like, whoa, I'm out. I'll just do it. No, but for people like us, man, this is like a wet dream.
You haven't seen my wet dreams yet, Jeff.
Oh, but I have. I put too much, haven't I?
You're in all of them. Cab's a great story. Another great story. Rich, the switch. What have you got for me, sir?
Right. Well, this story comes from the UK, and this is about a man who was having a bath.
And
he'd heard the vicious rumor that water and electricity don't mix, and unfortunately it's not true. Water and electricity mix remarkably well.
This is in charge of it,
turns out.
Yeah, and so this young man discovered the very hard way that if you are to attempt to charge your iPhone while in the bath and rest it on your tummy while you do it, then you are very likely to basically just kill yourself in the bath.
Can I clarify, is he dead?
Yes. He is.
And he was electrocuted.
This is It's a very tricky issue because on the one hand, of course, we wish nobody any harm. It's a very tragic thing that has happened. There is, on the other hand, an element of, well, duh, kind of your own fault there, mate. That right there is natural selection evolution in practice. We are living through it right there.
If I miss a show, my wife gets on the chat room and says, "Paul can't make it because he electrocuted himself in the bath charging his iPhone." You can call me a knob. My death would not actually restrict you for saying that.
I just don't plug anything in the bathroom, people. There are people saying that Apple should do more to... No, this has nothing to do with Apple.
But Rich, the iPhone 7's waterproof, isn't it? Surely.
Oh, the iPhone 7 might be, but the extension cord you've trailed into the bathroom from the hallway probably isn't.
So,
the extension cord was a big part of his problem.
You just know that he was stuck there without the extension cord, with his phone charger in his hand, thinking, "Hey, there are no plugs in the bathroom. We should definitely get some installed. I don't know why there are none in here. Where is that extension cable?" That was the last thought of bit of reasoning you did there, I think.
No, my guess is the last thought of reason that went through his head this fast was, "This may be a bad idea." But as the current coursed through his body, "Oh, maybe this was a bad idea."
Yeah.
As he's watching an advert for Candy Crush to get extra credits.
Rusper did not see this type of accident on a regular basis, and most mobile manufacturers cover the electric shock risk in their safety handling support advice. But if you need to get that, how have you acquired the resources in life to buy a mobile phone?
But Rich, you say that whilst let's be honest, there are clothes manufacturers, and on their instruction labels, it does say things like, "Do not iron whilst wearing."
Yeah,
you know, these are for most people, common sense. You know, there are warnings out there, and these warnings are legal warnings because people have done them. I absolutely expect within the next set of Apple's terms and conditions, and probably many other electrical manufacturers' terms and conditions, they will be putting warnings: do not charge whilst sat in the bath on your tummy, your chest, or any other part of your body, because you will die.
Yeah. Don't put anything electrical in the bathroom. I mean, I just, wow, it worries me.
So, public service announcement: BTN yes. does not endorse you charging or using any electrical equipment whilst in the bath.
Well, what was that? I was learnt at a very young age. What's that? Which is the James Bond film where Sean Connery's fighting the guy and he throws the fan in the bath and he dies? He goes, "Shocking."
It's From Russia with Love.
And I saw that and went, "Oh yeah, don't put anything electrical in the bath."
I assumed you were thinking, "Oh, fans in the bathtub that will kill you."
Yeah, it's also one of the way Bill Murray kills himself in Groundhog Day, in the
little, it is yes, yeah, you're right,
toaster in the bath.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have access to young films.
No, this guy was 32. He's seen Groundhog Day. That's happened.
Oh gosh. Wow.
You're
talking to a man with crippling OCD. I check every switch in my house every 12 seconds. That's off, isn't it? That's off. Yes. Oh no, shit, that one's on. Jesus. Not good.
You need to pause the show for a minute. Go take care.
Yeah, can I just do that and just tap myself on the head 5 times? No, I'm fine. But surely I'm sure I haven't had to teach my daughter this, that electricity and water don't mix. I think they taught that at school.
Do mix.
They do mix.
Very well.
They make a human milkshake. That's what they do. Yeah.
It's not good. I just worried. I say this a lot on podcasts. I think we've hit peak dumb, and this is just the beginning of it. We're going to see lots of this stuff, people charging themselves in the bath.
Buy a freaking battery pack.
just, I don't know that I'd advise doing that either. Don't charge things in the bathroom.
Don't take. Yeah.
You know, there are so many rooms in your house that do not contain a bath. Most of them.
If you're doing something. Yeah. If you're doing something that it's so important that you have your iPhone in your hand at that very moment, maybe taking a bath should take lower priority, and you just do that later.
But yeah. There's loads of people. The world is addicted to their smartphones. People absolutely will lay in the bath and will be playing Candy Crush or catching up on YouTube or iPlayer on their phones and their iPads. It happens all over the place. I know full well when I jump in the bath, I'll tend to put a podcast on, put it up on. I'm certainly not charging it up on the shelf, up way out of the way, near the door. And yes, I listen. But there'll be people who, you know, they're desperate to watch that bit of TV or catch the end of the game on their iPad, and for some stupid reason, they've not charged the device. So think that because they're an adult, they're responsible. It's fine to just run a cable to it, and they'll be careful until that point when the water hits it and they're no longer careful and they hear a zzz noise, and next thing they don't hear anything else. And people do take electronic items into the bathroom with them, and they make a risk call of their own when they do that. And
I keep mine at very. And if I have to touch my phone, I have to like get up, wash my, like dry my hands, and do it. Although I read Swamp Rat's comment in the chat room wrong. He said I can't remember the last time I took a bath. And I was like, okay, and then I followed on with I'm more of a shower person. Thank God for that. We don't want those sort of people around BTN, but yeah, thank God. But yeah, so essentially it wasn't the phone that killed him, it was the extension lead slipping into the bath. Because the iPhone charger would give him a little bit of a shock, wouldn't it?
iPhone charger will burn itself out so that you don't get shocked. The current goes through the charger cable.
He'd have curly hair, wouldn't he? But that's all he'd get.
Right. But yeah, but the extension cable that the charger was plugged into, well, it just kept providing juice.
What do they call it? For sure.
What do they call it? Natural selection, isn't it?
He may well be in this year's Darwin Awards.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, that is a BTN public service announcement from Rich the Switch. Your secret power is keeping us alive.
I do my best.
That's a pretty good secret power to have.
Really is, isn't it? I was quite pleased with that one.
Yeah, he'll turn up in your bathroom and go, no, you fool.
I give warnings of you there. I'll stop. Not keeping you alive anymore like that. Not with your iPhone in the bath. Yeah.
Oh, chaps, that was amazing. Well, that was amazing. Not for him. It was shocking.
Well, no. But I'm one car up in traffic tomorrow. That's just. I'm sorry.
did we cover which country that was?
It was this one. It was. Yeah.
What? It was us.
It was us.
What?
Yeah.
I know you're surprised it wasn't in the United States.
Yes, I was. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
These things are usually done by a Florida man, who gets around a lot.
He's eaten by a crocodile or electrocutes himself in the bath. That's what happens in Florida.
It is.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I can't even come back from that one. I can.
Sorry.
I can. This show and all the others, you won't remember this one, is sponsored by Neil Pearce. Because he's up, it's 5 a.m. in Perth in Australia, and he's watching us live. Bless his heart. He's a good mate, and he's watching us. He's not going back to bed because he's watching the big show. But apart from that, this show is sponsored by UK2. Now, I finally finished my transfer to UK2. They've been the best people in the world. They've sorted me out. God knows the shit I was dealing with my last provider. But everything is in place now. I've got SSL on everything. I can ask for SSL on anything I want. As you pointed out last week, we've got SSL on BTN. I did listen to the big show last week, and yes, I did moan like a bastard. I can see Camp's smile there.
Quite rightly as well.
Thank you very much. They've given us everything. They give us the SSL, they give us the servers, they give us the storage, they give us the bandwidth. And they're going to give you some stuff too. They're going to give you the VPS, VPN, domains, all that sort of stuff. Get on over to BTN. And, oh, he's at BTN.com. We haven't got it. BritishTechNetwork.com. You have done that wrong, I'm sure. And go to our sponsors page. Check out the links. Check out the offer codes. And we can save you a load of money. And if you really, really, really love BTN and UK2, drop them a tweet and say, we love you, UK2, supporting BTN. I love them. They love us. And we love doing this. Everyone who loves doing this, say aye.
Aye.
Yay.
Aye.
That's an endorsement from Rich. Anyway, do we have any cool thingies from the Whippets?
Oh, I'm not prepared. Yes, I do. Okay. My cool thing, 1 second. Here we go. Right, so Ewan kind of mentioned it last week. I've over the last couple of weeks got back into running. It's a while ago, it's a while since I've done this. So obviously when you're out for a run, you need to get some earphones in, get some music on, forget about pounding the pavement and take your mind elsewhere. So I went for the Anker iPhone arm strap. So it's only £6.99. Sorry, I never checked the US price or anywhere else. £6.99. Yeah. We know the quality of Anker product. We're Anker fans here in BTN. I've got my iPhone 6. I've had loads of these armbands over the years, and so many of them are just really uncomfortable. The good thing about this, it's absolutely very, very flexible neoprene strap on it, really comfortable to wear. Access ports top and bottom, so you can wear it either way up in terms of getting your earphones plugged in, unless you're running Bluetooth. You can, it's still capacitive through the plastic screen, so touching the numbers, touching the icons, moving around, play, pause, all that sort of stuff absolutely can be done through the screen.
Seven quid
arm strap, great quality. Does its job and does it well.
I'm totally good. I bought the I bought the Nike one for like 40 quid,
right?
And it's probably not as good as that.
It's comfortable. It's a fairly simple item, isn't it? You know, strap your iPhone to your arm and off you go. But it does it well, and it's a great quality.
It gets over your biceps, does it?
Yeah. I'm a skinny mini me for a big lad, skinny mini, but yeah, it fits nice. And it's also got a little pouch in there for a key, if you've got like a Yale type key. It's got a little loop for your wired AirPods to just clip them in if you're not using them. So,
damn you.
Yeah, damn you, £7, it's cheap and it works.
Oh, damn you, Cambian. I'm going to buy one of those now. Actually, I did my first ever Amazon, you know, the little cabinet things, the collection point things today. So I got a thing from Amazon, a Mother's Day present for my wife. I was given an address, and it must have been freaking Yodel, because I went to the address and they said, nope, it's not here. It was 7 miles away. Unfortunately, the road is 7 miles long, but and there's two shops of the same name on the 7 mile road. So I had to walk 7 miles to the other freaking shop.
Oh,
the bastard up. And then when I got back to work, they said, oh, I see you picked up your item. Please leave a survey. Yeah, freaking left a bloody survey. Cheers for that. But anyway, very good, very good. And Rich the Switch.
I've got nothing cool. I've been frantically looking around this room while you were talking.
Tell me which level you're on with Zelda. Come on.
I've been playing a lot of Zelda, but I'm kind of onto the second. What are they called? There are four big beast things that you have to conquer within the game, and I'm onto the second one of those.
Well,
it's such a non-linear game that it's impossible to describe where I'm up to.
Well, can I combine your cool thing with my cool thing? Because my cool thing is all your fault.
Okay, go for it.
So I have, and it's Andy's fault as well, so Andy Vaughan. So I bought the Xbox 360 PC controller.
Oh, right.
So it's the after you eat Raspberry Pi, Mr. Smith, with the old USB on it. I was off sick for a few days, and I ordered that off Amazon. And that came to my house, thank God. And obviously playing all the legal ROMs that I have access to. But that plugs into my Windows 10 PC absolutely brilliantly. And you can go into all your emulators, MAME, all those sort of things. I didn't realize that the OpenEMU didn't work on Windows. It's Mac only, isn't it?
I have never had cause to look.
Yes, it's Mac only, which I was really upset about. But I found a couple that worked really well. But this thing just plugs into the Windows 10 machine. You go into your emulator and you play your games. And me and my daughter just had the best time ever. I'm playing Simpsons Arcade, Final Fight, Street Fighter 2, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, which I forgot was an actual game in the 90s.
Yeah,
for God's sake. An actual game, you kill people with dance. You know, if you're sick, that is the best thing in the world. Thing is, I must have spent like half my pocket money on that. I finished it in 10 minutes, so I must have been shit at the top. But so, yeah, so thanks to Andy Vaughan and Richard Smith, I am a dedicated emulator player.
It's a good way to go.
It's a good way to go. How is your pie? Did you build your dad a pie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I think he just disgusted himself at Harrier Attack on the Amstrad and gave up on it. So I don't know. I've not really talked to him about it since I got him there.
I played Space Harry the other day. I forgot that was the game as well.
Oh, yeah.
Space Harry.
You can get a 3D version of that for the 3DS.
Oh, you're kidding me.
On occasion bought.
Oh, my God. I have no life.
Space Harrier. God, those were the days. You kids today, you don't know you're born with your Zelda. Your Mario. Oh, my God. But, yeah, Zelda's still a great game.
We had a conversation about the youth today at work. They think a wired connection is the electricity.
Yeah, they do. Bless
you.
Wow.
Little shit. So all I need to do now is observe what the observer has to say. Jeffrey,
well,
my man.
Okay, so I was thinking about going with the attachment for your smartphone that lets you count your sperm. But
as soon as Jeffrey says attachment to your smartphone, my mind goes bloody crazy.
You just need a very precise pair of tweezers for that.
Or really good aim.
And a good magnifying glass helps also.
That's right. But instead, I'm going with a different camera. And this is a new camera from D-Link that's it's like a home security monitoring camera, and it's the first HomeKit compatible camera on the market. And I have one, and it's really nice. You get good image quality off of it. Once it's set up, you can of course hook it up to HomeKit or just control it right through its own app. And you can change the lens angle. So if you get it where it needs to go and then realize it's not exactly right, instead of going and moving the camera and trying to get it right, just do it from your iPhone. You have a little control and you can move the lens around. And then it has motion sensor, sound sensor built in. It has a speaker so you can talk through it remotely. You know, just like you would expect from smart home cameras. But instead of having to pay for a subscription service for whatever video content you want to capture, you can put a micro SD card into it and then capture as much as you want.
Because that's always the catch with those, isn't it? You get a camera, it's quite cheap, but you got to pay like $30 a month to get it uploaded, haven't you?
Right. And with this, you have complete control over your video content. And since it hooks up to HomeKit, you can use the camera to trigger all kinds of other things in your place.
Oh, so, nice.
But I do love that you can pop in your own little micro SD card. Yeah. And if you have one sitting around, great. And if not, okay, well, they don't cost that much. So you can pop in whatever size you want and record as much video as you want.
It's really pretty as well.
Yeah, it looks nice.
$199.95. So that'll be
well priced. That's well priced when you compare it to what else is out there.
Yeah, it'd be £3 million in the Oh, that's in the Apple Store.
Oh yeah, you can get it through the Apple Store too.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, you should be. It's HomeKit. Absolutely.
Right.
It helps. So, yeah.
That is lovely.
Absolutely. And Wi-Fi, it has an Ethernet port on it too, if you'd rather connect it through Ethernet. But you know, it's where I'm testing it right now in my hall. It's just on a little end table, and go over Wi-Fi, and it's great. I've been able to connect to it remotely through HomeKit and through the D-Link Omnia app, no problem. And it's a nice little camera.
It's an internal camera, isn't it? So competitors against like the Withings and the Parrot and things like that.
Yes.
The Ring external mounted ones.
Yeah. So this is something used indoors, and I'm testing it against a Withings Home. Their HomeKit compatible version isn't out yet, so just the regular Withings Home. And I also have a Canary set up.
Yep.
And I really like all the cameras, but that D-Link, it's a really nice size, and I like HomeKit compatibility, and that I don't have to pay for a subscription to store any video I capture.
So I need that. I need one more thing, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
Your username and password. All my wife does. Thank you so much. Well, that was the Big Mac Show. I think it was the Mac Show, to be perfectly honest. But I think we'll please everyone with that. All we have to do is say, where can we get a hold of you? The Whip It.
I'm Campion UK on Twitter. I'm always there or thereabouts in the Slack room and writing some reviews and the occasional blog in the BritishTechNetwork.com/reviews.
And you do. You put me to shame sometimes, actually. And proofreading mine as well.
Absolutely.
For legality. Which isn't good. Rich the Switch. Well, I know I can get hold of you and I'll see you on Sunday, but
everything else is on simplysyndicated.com, or you'll find all just my stuff on techsupportreach.com.
And see you at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and I'll see you at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
No worries, mate. And the Observer. He watches over us with a steely eye and a little pervy smirk on his face. Jeffrey.
Oh, that's right. The camera's on. So you can find me over at macobserver.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut. I have some new stuff that I'm getting ready to put up on Fresh Brew Tales. Finally.
Wow.
Good.
I know. It's just been crazy for a while, but I'm getting back in the swing of a Fresh Brew Tales, and so yeah, and then of course Gobs of Podcasts.
There is no podcast that Jeff isn't on. That's about right, isn't it?
There's a couple.
There's a couple. That's all there is. Well, I'm righty. You'll find me Paul's on Twitter, in the Slack room, bugging Campion and Rich and Jeff on a regular basis, sending inappropriate messages late at night. But until next time, we'll see you all soon. Nighty-night.